Martin, while he was still just studying his catechism, covered me with this, his own garment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, did you count the number of bells today that was rung at the very beginning? It was 11 o'clock, and Mr. Lotarski rang the bell exactly 11 times. And that's because it was at 11 o'clock on this day, on the 11th day of November, which is also the 11th month, so it makes it easy to remember, that the first of the great wars, or the world wars, which they were fighting about 100 years ago, came to an end. Like almost all wars ever, children, it was just a silly war fighting over nothing at all. No one could probably remember, unless they were a specialist in history, why exactly they had this world war. But the Pope, St. Pius X, knew it would be a terrible war, and he tried to stop it before the powerful people, the presidents and the dictators and the kings, started it, and they wouldn't. And so it broke his heart, and he died of a broken heart just before they started the war. And then at the end of the war, the next pope after him, Pope Benedict XV, he was so shocked at how many young soldiers and other people had died that he told each priest to go ahead and say three masses, which we still do today, on All Souls Day, and one of those three would be just for all of the soldiers who died in that war. Wars are a terrible thing, children, and they're usually just a terrible waste, and wicked men use wars to promote their own wicked causes. Now we have a new president, and we're sort of hopeful that we might not have any more of these horrible wars we've been having for such a long time now, for 15 years, or even a fresh new war with some other country. But we must pray, and we must do penance. Now, one of the best ways of praying at all, children, because it's always times two, is to pray for the poor souls in purgatory. And if you offer up your prayers for them so they can get out of purgatory early, well, then they'll pray for you and your intentions very gratefully. If you don't forget them, most people do forget the poor souls, and especially, I'm sure, so many poor soldiers who died so long ago. Well, then, if you don't forget them, they won't forget us. They'll be our grateful friends forever in the glory of heaven. What does that illustrate, children, if not the beauty of the communion of the saints? What does that mean? Remember, we talked about it on Sunday. Everybody in the Catholic Church gets to help out everybody else, and everybody gets to be helped sooner or later by the saints in heaven, the fighting, militant soldiers of Christ here on earth, and the suffering souls in purgatory. It's really one of the most consoling doctrines of our holy faith. Well, today we have the patron saint of soldiers, appropriately enough. Probably it was his prayers, he is one of the great patron saints of Europe, that brought that first world war to an end. He was one of the first non-martyrs to become a canonized saint of the Catholic Church. He was a great bishop and missionary, and his feast day for the longest time was a kind of a Thanksgiving day. Back before they had turkeys and things, I mean, in the old world they would eat a goose. But it was the same idea, to thank Almighty God for all of the blessings we have, you know, a roof over our head and enough to eat, and our families and our friends and our good health and everything else. Well, St. Martin got his start, though, in the military. He was born towards the end of the Roman Empire and towards the end of the persecutions, and his daddy was in the army. And back then, not enough men were joining the army, so the emperor said, if your father's in the army, then any sons that your father has, at least one of them, has to also join the army. Well, he didn't want to, because he already wanted to be a soldier of Christ. On his own, he went to see the church and the priest of the church. His parents were pagan, I think. And his mother was a Christian, but his father was a pagan. Well, he went to see the priest about studying catechism so he could get baptized, because he hadn't been baptized yet. And he was studying the catechism, and he wanted just to be full-time Christian, but the law was the law, and he had to go off to the army. And because his father was an officer in the army, and they had a little money, he had his own servant that went with him to take care of his needs at camp. And all of the other soldiers used to make fun of him because he was so humble and charitable. He would do the servant's work for him. He would polish his own boots and things like that. And all the others made fun of him for that. But he did it to offer it up and to be humble and charitable and everything. And that's when that story happened. It was a cold morning, probably just the way it was when you woke up this morning, about 30 degrees or so. It was a cold morning. And they were out riding, all the soldiers were, with their warm red woolen cloaks keeping them nice and toasty warm, when outside the gates of the city of Amiens, France, when they saw this poor beggar. Well, the soldiers that were pagans, they didn't even see him. People often don't see those who are in need. But St. Martin saw him, and he thought, look at that poor man. He's shivering. He doesn't even have a jacket on or anything. And so he thought, what can I do? He didn't have any money. Maybe he had already given it all away. I don't know, but he had no money. And all he had on was his nice warm cloak. And so he was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He gets out his sword, and probably the beggar thought, what's he going to do with that sword? And he chopped it in half. He cut one half for himself. He thought, that would be plenty for me. And he gave the other half to the beggar. And that night when he went to bed, after he said his prayers and fell asleep, our Lord appeared to him, and he was wearing the other half of the cloak. And our Lord said to anybody that was listening, maybe to angels and so forth, he said, Martin, when he was still just studying the catechism, not even baptized, clothed me with this, his own garment. Because our Lord says, what you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. And then he was thinking to himself, our Lord appeared to me. I better do something special with my life. So just about that time, they were having a barbarian invasion, like many countries in Europe are having again today. Except today, as the government is bringing the barbarians in, but then back then, they came on their own. The government didn't invite them. And as a matter of fact, they had wars to try to keep the barbarians out of their empire. Well, Julian the Apostate, who was supposed to be a Catholic, only he apostatized and went back to being a pagan again, and he hated the church. He came to town to rally the troops, to give them a speech, and to promise them extra bonus payment if they would all fight bravely against the barbarians. Well, when the speech was over, and Julian called each soldier up by name to give him his bonus in advance, he said, excuse me, Your Imperial Highness, only I can't take the bonus. And he said, why can't you take the bonus? He said, I can't take it because I'm not going to fight tomorrow at the battle. What, he said? You're not going to fight? Listen to that coward, he told the other soldiers. Listen to him. What a shameful thing. And here your father was a soldier before you. He spoke that way for a while. But he said, I'm no coward, Your Highness. I'm going to fight for Christ our King from now on. And I'll tell you what, why don't you just go ahead and put me in the front lines tomorrow, and I'll show you that I'm not a coward. He was a little bit cross at the accusation, I think, because he wasn't a coward. Martin wasn't. So the emperor said, right. He said, soldiers, lock that soldier up in the brig, and tomorrow you put him in the front lines. But that night, the barbarians unexpectedly sent some ambassadors, and they had a peace conference and everything, and they signed a treaty. And that was that. There was no more war the next day. And he was let free, and he wasn't a soldier anymore for the emperor, but he was a soldier for Christ. And then he has many adventures. He goes on and goes to visit his folks who are living back in Hungary. And on his way, he came across some heretics who were called Arians, who didn't believe our Lord was truly God. And they beat him up because he was preaching Christianity. And eventually he became a monk in France at a place called Liège near the city of Tours. And there he had hundreds of monks. And then they thought, the people did, he'd make a good bishop. Let's have him for our bishop. And that's how they used to get bishops back then. They were sort of just elected that way. Let's have him, let's have Martin for our bishop. And the story is that Martin said, uh-oh, I don't want to be the bishop. He was a very humble man. I just want to be a simple monk. And so he hid. But one of the geese that the monastery had in their little flock of geese for feast day dinners, he honked. And by the honking of the goose, they knew where Martin was hiding. And so he was forced to become a bishop, which is what they used to do back then. And he became a most holy bishop and a missionary. And he traveled all over the place, driving out demons, preaching the gospel, and he raised three dead men back to life, if you can imagine it. And the devil would sometimes appear to him and try to fool him, except he never was able to. Martin could always see through his ruses. The other bishops didn't like him too much because he wasn't much on personal hygiene. And he never combed or cut his hair. And I think he looked a little bit frightful, like St. John the Baptist did on Sunday. If you remember, he looked kind of... Well, that's how he looked. But he didn't mind about things like that because he was a monk. And he was busy doing holy things and fasting and preaching. And he made many, many converts. He converted practically the whole country of France. And that's St. Martin. And when he died, it was a little bit colder than it is this year. And all the trees had lost their leaves, and it had been very cold indeed. And then they had his burial. And abbots and bishops and princes and everybody, thousands of people came to his burial. And they had to take his body after Mass down this long lane that had trees on each side, and they were bare, lifeless trees for the winter already. Except when his body passed on the way to the cemetery for burial, each tree turned into leaf and then into blossom. It was the most beautiful sight of a miracle. And that was not the last, but many, many other miracles were worked by St. Martin of Tours. He's the patron saint of soldiers, and we should pray to him for our dear country, for all of the poor soldiers that died in all the wars, and for there not to be any more wars ever again, for everybody to fight for Christ our King. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.